The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
All right, so I'm Nick Harcourt, and right here in my hands, I've got Chicano Batman's brand new album, and it's called Notebook Fantasy. You should know that these come in lots of different colors, so there's a color for everyone. This one is clear. You can see right through it.
That one looks fire.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah, you got the best one.
So good to see you. I got the best one?
Yeah, I think so. I've seen four of them.
I don't know. I never listened to Transparent.
We'll put this one away.
Transparent Records, I don't really listen to them. It's kind of weird.
I don't know.
It feels like it's missing bass or something.
No, they're fat sounding. They sound good.
So I got Carlos and Vado and Eduardo. And it's great to see you guys. You just played a session for us, which I'm really excited about. But I want to talk about the album and a big tour that you guys are going to be doing as well. So let's start with the album first. I haven't seen you guys for about 2 years in person.
When really? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago. Yeah, on the hill.
Yeah.
It seems like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things.
I know, it's crazy how time is just flying. But when did you start working on this record? When did you start writing the songs that ended up on this album?
I started writing some of these songs like in like late 21. And it was after like, I guess this is a departure point, huh? But, you know, we had COVID. We had COVID. I got COVID. In what was the city, the last show that we didn't play?
Minneapolis,
yeah. So I got COVID, and then we weren't able to go do the show. Got home, it was around Christmas time. So I wasn't, you know, had to quarantine in my studio because, you know, wife was like, no, you can't come in, you know.
Yeah, for
sure. You gotta stay in your studio. Yeah. So I got my stuff there, and I just started playing my acoustic guitar, like, I just had this idea. I got, you know, with Invisible People, there was a lot of production involved. You know, it was a lot of going on Pro Tools and recording stuff on Pro Tools. So for me, it was like, let's go back to basics. Let me just pick up a guitar and just focus on writing songs. You know, like forget about beats and flangers, you know what I mean? Let's just like write a simple song. Mm-hmm. So I just started like recording. I recorded it at Primavera, I think, and then a few other ones, and that was a start. I had this vision for like songs that were like love songs, but then, you know, like I wanted to write songs that were relatable to everybody. I mean, write a love, like love songs, you know, like painful love songs. Love and pain was kind of like the vision. And I talked to Eduardo about it. And, you know, we just got together, Eduardo came over, and we would just have long kind of like therapy sessions, you know? We've been a band for 20 years, right? So it was a lot of, okay, let's make a new record. We got to kind of heal together.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of that. So in these conversations, we'd also talk about the aesthetics of the record, right? And so he was like, yeah, let's just make songs that everybody could relate to. And I remember you mentioned Bob Marley, and you mentioned Bob Marley a lot. And I thought it was, oh, well, we're going to make a reggae record? No, not at all. But I understood what he meant. He meant, like, let's have big, pure songs, big chords. And he had his song that he brought, which ended up being Parallels, that we ended up turning into a, he was like, well, let's check out the song. And I was like, oh, cool. Let's make it a duet. Let's both sing on it. So I think Parallels is a strong foundation of the record as well. At A Primavera, we just put it out, just came out. That was kind of one of the first ones too, but forget what songs are. But, you know, and then, you know, we had sessions with Carlos and ended up, you know, getting the sketches for Fly.
Uh-huh.
We just had did a bunch of recordings at my studio, and, you know, just developed it at Eduardo studio.
Estaba morado. Yo te estuve esperando y de repente yo presiento tu hermosura me llenaba con una tremenda alegría. Era primavera, estábamos afuera, el sol nos alumbraba y yo como te amaba. En tu alta atrás y yo me sacrificaré alabándote desde tus pies. Era primavera, estábamos afuera, el sol nos abrazaba.
So, Carlos, you're living on the East Coast now, right?
Yes.
So, I presume you guys have to time, studio time, when you come in.
Yes.
How did that work?
Yeah, so they were working on songs Bardo was bringing in and Eduardo, and I had my little stockpile happening out there in my little home studio and had a bunch of ideas, and Fly was one of them. I had that, like, progression and
right.
music lying around and saving it for when we met in person. And we had a session at Bardo's house, at his studio. And I showed it to them and just started, you know, snowballing into a bunch of really great ideas. It was a lot of fun.
Notebook Fantasy was one of them. That's the one I'm thinking about.
That's another one.
We
yeah.
went into, remember when we went to Bardo's studio?
Yeah, Notebook Fantasy, I had it around for a while, the music. Live Today, some stuff that I was saving for the band. I have
right.
a bunch of, you know, like all of us, we all write music all the time.
Right.
But I was like, oh, these three seem like this would be interesting to, you know, see what Bardo brings to this with his vocals and Eduardo with his bass and arrangement ideas. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. They were very open to it and they brought amazing music as well. And it was a lot of fun.
You brought in John Congleton to help produce this record. He's done a whole bunch of stuff, but he's probably best known for his work with St. Vincent, I guess.
Yeah.
How did you come to work with him and what did he bring to the Chicano Batman mix?
It was really through management that brought his name up, right?
And so, you know, we're like, oh, he brought it up before. It was like on a list, you know, like a short list.
On a list. But he was first on a big ass list.
He was on a list, yeah. Like for the last record. And but then he got brought up again. And I was actually hip to who he was by this time. Because I had loved St. Vincent. I love all those records. Like, she's amazing. So I was like, yes, let's work with him. And we were talking about him, I guess, for a while too.
Right.
So it was kind of crazy. Me and Eduardo pulled up to a meeting with him. And we just started talking whatever ideas we had, you know. I was like, I want this sound of John Lennon. He was like, well, let's get, you know, Jim Keltner, or the drummer.
Right.
That played on.
Like, he played on Lennon's solo stuff.
Yeah. And stuff. So I was like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, he was talking like that. He was, yeah. Like, he was like, well, if you got, you know, soul sign, let's get James Gatson in here.
Yeah.
He's like, but just let's get him in to do the thing. It's old, so he's got to just sit down and do the thing, and then he'll leave. Just
right.
He'll do it. He's here. And I'm like, so nobody's ever talked to us like that. You know, who you want? Homer, you know, he's expensive, but I can get him. You know, so it's like, where are we going to record it? Sunset Sound, of course. You got to go to the best.
Right.
Not flinching, and I'm like, wow, we deserve the best right now. You know, and then you put us in a situation where you got the best thing, and this guy's not assuming about any of it. It's just how he works.
Uh-huh.
You know? He believed in us, honestly. It really, you feel it. He believed in us and the vision. And then he did his wizardry that he does best. He's a dork scientist, madman, punk, musician, engineer, producer. He's kind of like this thing, you know, all over the place. But the fact that it's one house and it turns things around quick.
Right.
Makes me question, like, not question, just appreciate the level of skill that all the cylinders running at the same time. And making aesthetic decisions, be like, that might not be the right line.
Yeah.
At the end of all that. So he's very organized in that way, and I respect that like sharpness. He's all cylinders are going.
He's very unique in that, you know, we talk to a lot of producers, and a lot of producers, they need their engineer, they need to work at a certain studio to get the sound that they want, you know, that they're known for. John is not like that. John is the engineer. He is the mixing engineer. He is the person setting up the mic. You know, he can go anywhere.
So he can go anywhere and
that's what
deliver what he does.
Yeah, and that's what we needed. We talked to a lot of people. We had to go to their place and the East Coast. That's tough for these guys. We have children, wives. And John was, we were supposed to work at out of his studio, but it was getting renovated. And he's like, we'll go to Sunset Sound. We'll go wherever. I can do it.
Yep.
And it was crazy. He was turning knobs, setting it up, getting the sounds with an amazing quickness. And they were amazing sounds. And it was a sight to behold. It was really special.
He wouldn't really use that much compression and stuff either. It was pretty, like, going through the board, just EQing the board a little bit. You know, it was kind of a really interesting, I mean, yeah, like they're saying, a very efficient approach.
Yeah.
A lot of music today is very compressed. And for listeners that don't know what that means, there's like this kind of distortion. They equalize the sound so it's loud.
You squash everything into a narrow band.
And there's no dynamics.
Right.
So imagine having a conversation where I'm talking like this the whole time. Your ear gets fatigued, you know, you don't want to listen after a while. And John was thinking, let's do the opposite of what everyone's doing. Let's make a record with dynamics without a bunch of compression where you hear like the, you know, the performance. You hear the little squeak happening on the fret, you know, if you listen for it, the voice. And I think that's the reason his lyrics and his singing really resonates more than ever on this record for me is because there's dynamics there. He's quiet, he's loud. You feel the emotion because of that.
Right.
It's such a turn from all the other stuff where we leaned into that 60s or like breakbeat or lo-fi or whatever production. It is like, John, he took that out. He's like, we're not using that. But we also had decided as a band, we're not using that anyway. We're gonna go more Steely Dan with it, you know? And then start there and then see where we go, you know, in the terms of clarity of it, you know? G and C is a chorus. Try that.
Yeah, our last
beautiful teletone. Classic, right? Bruce Springsteen, G and C.
Right.
You know, A minor, D minor.
I'll take one of those.
Open chord on a.
I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah,
how genius. That
sounds.
Yeah.
I feel like our last record was definitely leaning into the opposite, where it was very, and it was amazing. Like, we worked with Sean Everett, and he did amazing things to that record. But we were also really deeply into that world, you know? I felt like I rolled into the production and became a producer through that as well. You know, just really chopping. But I was like over it by the time I was in my studio at late 21. I was like, no, I just want a fucking open G, open C chord, you know what I mean? And so he was also on that page, also like, I think it's a, you know, you realize that everybody, it's a collective thing. You know, obviously it's cultural waves, right? There's all kinds of musicians making music. It's like fads, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's at the end of the day, it's just people trying out different ideas.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, moving past ideas or going into new ones. I never thought that Scorpion, like a Scorpion tune, it was cool. You know what I mean? But then I'm on the, you know, listening to that one song. What is it again? I always forget. Winds of Change on the freeway. After we made the record, I was like, oh, I understand it now. I like this drum tone, you know? And that was something new for me, you know? And now I'm really into like 80s aesthetics, and like I could listen to that tune, you know, that you just showed me.
Out of the Blue Nile, yeah.
And I could be like, I could appreciate the gated reverb on the snare, you know? Because I like that shit now. I hear it. It reminds me of my childhood too, because I grew up with that music, you know? Yeah. But you know, it goes back to the David Bowie thing, I think, for me. Is it's like, you know, it's just playing with different sounds, playing with aesthetics, you know? And just, you know, this is where we are.
So you guys have been doing this for a while. Now, I said 20 years as a band, 16 years, I think.
It's 16 years.
Recording, yeah?
16 years.
Yeah, 16 years. So 16. This is the...
This is 2008.
This is the fifth album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how has things shifted in that time for you musically? Because, you know, we hopefully all evolve. In our lives and in our creative endeavors as well. And coming out of the pandemic, where a lot of creative people, musicians, artists, were just stopped and reconsidering, you know, how they wanted to proceed. Were you impacted by that at all? How do we come back as Chicano Batman after this time with a new album? Who do we want to be now?
Absolutely. You know, and I think all of us are on different pages as to like what that means, you know, to every one of us. And I think that's, you know, what this album is, you know, us kind of reconciling our differences. I mean, that's kind of like a negative kind of saying, but that's pretty much what it is. You know, like I have, my vision is always like, I'm always changing. I come from like a visual art world since I was a kid, you know, like I was into comic books. And so like I love John Lennon. I recently just got into Bowie. We were talking about Bowie.
Yeah, you were saying.
But I think he's a great example of how like just he's constantly shifting. You know, he's into one thing one moment, and then he's just like, just kind of shifting because he's just playing. He sees, I saw his documentary, and he was also a visual artist when he was a kid, when he growing up, and he came out of that. And I really relate to people like that. Kurt Cobain is another person like that. Like they just literally like live their lives in notebooks, you know, and just drawing and just kind of like going through the world like that. I find myself in that same kind of spirit. And so for me, it's always, okay, what do I feel like doing now? So I think this, for me, this is all like, I just kind of went Bowie with it for a bit in terms of style, in terms of aesthetic, you know.
I've been seeing all the photo shoots you're doing as well. Man, you got some great gear that Bowie would have been proud of wearing, I think.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I regret it all now, but.
Now that you've seen the photo shoot.
But I think that's what it's about, you know.
Well, it'd be really weird if you had three guys who've been together for, you know, the amount of time you've been in a band together, if you all had the same ideas. I mean, that would be really weird, wouldn't it? I mean, everyone's going to bring their own, you know, who they are to the
No, it's been really awesome for me. Like Carlos, you know, brings, like, you know, you mentioned to him, like if you like hit me with an R&B joint, he'll hit you with a lot of good tracks, you know, like early 80s and stuff that maybe that's not my wheelhouse. So it's like when it comes down to like, okay, approaching like a track that we put together, you know, that's very funky. So, okay, what? So I have to kind of like approach it from that world. Okay, I'm going to be Luther Vandross now. You know what I mean? And that's kind of brings out a whole energy out of you, right? And I love playing. Like, it's like, it's almost like acting. And I really appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. We'll be right back.
everything she said.
You know, eclectic is a word that I was associated with for a long time, but I've always thought that this band is about as eclectic as it gets. I mean, there's so many different, three different personalities that come into the music, but also a lot of different musical styles as well. And you were just referencing three completely different people there. Is there any limit to the type of music that you can bring into Chicano Batman?
That's a good question. But whatever it is, I'm always trying to just personally just put it aside, you know? I think this band can do anything, you know, with drums, without drums, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, there's a lot more to explore. I think this album really, to me, really opened up the whole spectrum because there's a lot of respect for each other's ideas. So each one breathes more. So it's just because you have apples, like, you're going to mess with tomatoes at some point. So let's just give it some water, you know, hook up your salad at some point. So for me, the process just opened up like that. And it's just like, the ideas are not stupid, they're just different.
Right. You know?
And so I think different is great. And I think, to me, that's what this album is. There's so many different songs on this album. Each one goes in its own direction, you know, and it's just like, very few of them go in the same direction. And I think that's awesome because I think it gives a lot of people an opportunity to identify with a different track within the same band. And I think that's where the eclectic experience starts to evolve, is to like, you mean things profoundly in a different way, you know, as opposed to the punk band or the metal band that plays, it's gotta be heavy, it's gotta be this, it's gotta be that. So I think now we're chasing a different type of sentiment with this record. And I think that sentiment opens up the spectrum of genres.
And then what?
So many different sounds. It's not like, okay, what's our sound? Like, we don't have a sound.
No.
Sounds like a celebration of our like diversity of influences and accepting it.
Yeah.
You know, after years of maybe having impasses on genre, you know, we're all very artistic minded and we have ideas, and sometimes, you know, you have to, in a collaboration, you have to like discuss, you know, stuff. And this one I think was just like, he brought a tune in, he was like, I want it to sound like this. And we were all game about serving the song.
Right.
You know, as opposed to maybe serving our egos, like maybe something I would have done in the past. Like, I need to have a amazing guitar part on this song no matter what.
Yeah,
now I was like, okay, I'm here to serve this you know, piece of art you brought in and do the best I can.
That's interesting. You know, I can relate to that, and I can relate to it in how I am in my relationships, right? Because
this is a relationship,
right? Yeah. It's the same thing, right? Whether it's my partner or my kids or whatever. You know, I learned, and it took me a long time to do this. I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I learned how to not have my ego in something. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like, for example, if I'm fighting with somebody, do I really need to be fighting over that little thing? Because she said that she didn't like that one thing or whatever it is. It's like, like learning how not to fight. Learning how to be able to sort of take everybody's input and not have to be right, because somebody else actually might have a better idea. I mean, is it kind of like that?
It's 100% like that.
Yeah.
I feel like for me personally, for me, because I came into this as a guitar player, and then I got stuck with bass, you know? So in the beginning, it was boring, you know? And it was like, this is not my function. You know, I grew into it, and then I owned it now, and I feel like it was my calling now to be doing this. It's a very uncomfortable path to lead to now. At the same time, I have songs and I have things and I have so many, as a guitar player, songwriter, and this, in this band, I have a certain function, you know? And I think that to me has required the most leaving my ego at the door and then checking my energy, you know, with how I bring my energy. It could be thick sometimes, you know, because I'm frustrated about something or I'm just not getting mine. But man, with this record, it's gone. Like these songs that these guys brought are amazing. And I was like, how lucky I'm just get to be in the, you know, in that department downstairs, you know? And then it just made me just even level up, you know? It's like I'm working for the songs, you know? Whatever song is on the table. So it's for me, it's definitely a big maturing process, you know, to be able to lock into your role. Like I say, you know, some people just get rebounds, you know, and putbacks on the basketball court. Others shoot the three. What are you doing out there if, you know, sometimes you might make one, it's cool, but like, you know, in this team setting, like, Bartla is like the poet, you know? And he can do this day in and out, like 24/7, that's who he is, you know? And just like, and Carlos, I think he has this sonic exploration that's like on this super world stage. I just think what Carlos is doing is absolutely unique. So everybody's kind of really honing in on that one thing they do, you know, and then getting the assets to accommodate that and grow it and put it in a bigger platform.
What about lyrics on this? You got a mix of English and Spanish lyrics again, but where are you writing from this time?
Well, I think just kind of post-pandemic, you know? Like I said, writing like just a lot of painful things. I had an aunt that was really close to me that passed away. So that was really hard for me, just dealing with that and, you know, and personal, you know, just we all suffered a lot. I think post-pandemic, everybody lost somebody. Loss is a part of it, you know, dealing with the also like over a 10 year like marriage. You know, it's gonna be a 10 anniversary now. So, you know, navigating that, we have two kids. So just, there's a lot of struggle in my life, I feel. And I mean, you know, navigating, right? Like you were saying, like you're navigating all your relationships and everything that, you know, the past, and you're losing people and just all the stuff that comes into living.
Yeah.
And I think I threw that in there. I think I've always been very like dealing with the angst of just being in society.
Just being here.
Just being, well, you know, but also being in America, right?
Well, sure.
you know, and that's always really affected me since I was younger. I felt like in my life, like my mom has always been very, I mean, you know, we deal with the trauma of our parents, but also my mom was always very loving. So I felt like once I started to go to school, I felt very alienated going to school, elementary, like bullies, going through that stuff. And I felt like, for example, my path in music and art was a way of like protecting myself. So I, you know, for better or for worse though, it's also like kind of like, so I built my ego around, going back to the ego, it's not the best thing, right? But it's also like, that's how I survived, I feel, was like literally through writing.
Yeah, I don't think ego is necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, but it could be. It is. It's also like I'm also full of myself.
You're allowed to get out of control.
Let go of it, too. It doesn't serve me. But,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like learning how not to fight.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
Well, you got to learn how not to fight. You know, because it's not good for you. Not good for anybody. So, I mean, yeah, all that stuff, like just life, you know. From losing my mind, just like...
I just learned I didn't have to be right.
Oh, no, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, bad.
Like, I don't have to be right. Why do I have to be right?
You know, there's that lyric from, it's funny, from Drake. Drake. I was listening to Drake, and he has a lyric. It's like, wise man once said nothing at all. You know, that's such a deep lyric to me.
Yeah.
You know, for like, from a pop song. It's like, yeah. Like, sometimes you don't have to put your 2 cents in and be right, or just... sit that one out.
Yeah, and maybe think about it. We were talking before we started rolling tape. I was talking about this band, the Blue Nile, that I like from way back when. And there's a quote from the guy from that band that says, you know, silence is perfect. What are you going to put on it?
I love that.
You know, so from the point of view of making a record, okay, so silence is perfect. What are you going to do with that?
No? That's great. Yeah, awesome. Love that.
Don't need to remind me, gonna live today.
So you're looking at some of the lyrics.
I'm looking at some of the lyrics. I was just, my mind went towards parallels because, you know, we wrote this song together, Eduardo and I, and we wrote the lyrics together. He came up with the music. We decided to write a duet. Like, we're going to sing on this song. We're going to sing this song on stage with two microphones.
Got it.
He's going to have his. I'm going to have mine.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. I think ideally he shouldn't have an instrument. I don't know what you want to do.
And that, but that's new for you.
No, no, no. Yeah, that's
What do you want to do? Yeah.
I mean, I would
you good with the mic?
Yeah,
let's rock the
yeah.
mic.
Yeah.
You know, no, but I like the bass. On the spot.
Yeah,
I like,
but can
like
you hang bass. It off your ass or something right. just to get on the mic?
No, no, no. No. Yeah, it'll be something.
Yeah.
Man, I get just, the headpiece right here.
It's new for him. Because he's never, you know, we've had this conversation. He's like, bro, I don't know what I'm going to do without an instrument.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So talking about playing live.
Anyways, that whole vibe is like, that's going to be huge, I feel. Like, I feel like this song is going to really resonate with our fans. It may not be the song that our label picks for the next single. Or like, literally, Parallels is the one that I've been feeling. Because it's literally us talking shit to each other.
Right.
We're literally talking about our, like, fucking beefs and our... But also what unites us. Like, our kids were born at the same time in April.
10 days apart.
2020.
Yeah. They're best friends.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
They're best friends.
Yeah, they go to the same daycare. You know, that's real.
Yeah.
You know, so we're literally talking about our...
Your lives.
Our lives. Yeah. You know, we started this band in 2008, you know what I'm saying? I met him at a party. I saw him at a party. And we were like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I like Caetano Veloso. And he was like, oh, yeah, I like Chico Che. I'll do this. Like, I got this guy. I like this guy, Carlos, actually. I mentioned Carlos, I think. I was like, I like this guy's music. It's like he's making some, like, really, like, oldie shit, but now... Nobody was doing that then, right? Like, it literally sounds like some shit that I love, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but I'm also like, but, you know, and then he's sharing, because I want to do, like, Los Angeles Negros. Nobody was doing that at the time.
Right.
And then literally, like, him playing clean guitar. I'm just describing, like, he was doing stuff in the scene. And in this conversation, we were like, hey, let's start something together. In 2008, a long-ass time ago. Anyhow, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And
here we are.
The album obviously is coming, and there's a lot of touring coming up as well. And I know you love playing live, and obviously couldn't do that for a little bit of time, but you've come back and been performing in the last couple of years. What about taking this album out? I know you're going to go to Europe as well later on this year. And the U.S. leg of the tour wraps up back here in Los Angeles. And you've played some great venues in LA, I know. Mm. You've played the Bowl, and you've played a lot of great venues, but this is gonna be a homecoming show like no other, because you're gonna be playing the Forum, which I believe holds, what, 12, 14,000 or something? How many does that place hold?
Take 11 to 14, depending on the event.
Yeah, depending on how they set it up. So you're gonna be finishing that US tour at the Forum. There's some purple versions of this album being made for that as well, I heard. I know it's a long way away now because the album's just coming out and then you're going to be touring, but that's got to feel good to have gotten yourself to a place now where at the end of this tour, you're going to come back to LA and you're going to play this massive venue.
Yeah. It feels so unreal because the public has not listened to the whole record yet. So they got Fly, they got Era Primavera, and I just know it's just like, man, we just trickled out some water, but once we open it up, you know, it's a language, I think, that we're putting out there with this music. And I'm confident that people will enjoy it, you know, but it's just like, we'll see how that really carries out by who shows up to the shows.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, been an interesting process because now we're like, literally, we made this record like last year, right? And then now we're, and it's like the best music that we've made, right? And then it's like, well, that's how it feels. And then right now we're working really hard at like doing press and, you know, all the PR stuff, right? And the way you put and project, the way you project the music and the way you put stuff out on social media, et cetera, and doing all that stuff, trying to boost engagement and all, you know, releasing music in the modern age.
2024, man.
Yeah, we were talking about this the last time we met when you guys helped me out for that pilot show I made a couple of years ago. And we were talking then about social media and how you present yourself. And, you know, I know it's something that you're not that into for obvious reasons.
But I am, though.
But you have to be.
Yeah, you kind of. I mean, this is our profession.
We're really invested in it.
Yeah.
This is literally the nuts and bolts of our profession right now.
Right. You know,
the likeness of the band.
The likeness is a thing. The likes.
You know? So you know, you go out there and you navigate that wheel. You know, you go left, oh, that didn't work. Go right, that didn't work. Well, it's 2025. There's no rules.
Right.
Doesn't seem like there's much rules. Even the brick and mortar of press is kind of dwindling. So it's almost like anybody with a badass TikTok account could be the next press.
That's true.
Put everybody out of business.
That's true.
Some 50-year-old, you know, take out some like, you know, big publication. You get the real story because they're on the ground.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So then respect. You know, respect to that, to the how they're using the medium and stuff like that. So it's like, well, if you want to, you know, you got to combine some of that for your own career. But just hire, just get the people that know how to do that because, damn, it is very exhausting. You can live just in that world, you know, mm-hmm. to just work on the likeness of yourself.
Right.
And, you know, I tell Carlos, I'm like, bro, we're here 45 minutes making this video where we could be writing a song with that same energy. Isn't that the truth?
It's
like, however, this is going to reach way more people right now than an idea that potentially we'll use 6 years from now.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the value is being put on the likeness of the product, you know, but it's part of the process, this big machine that we're, you know.
It's not like, it's frustrating for me.
It is.
Right.
You know, because you have to produce something.
Right.
So give a different angle of yourself, you know, do a pretend thing, do the real thing, do all this. It at the end of the day, it is energy and it's still choices, you know?
Yeah.
And that energy and choice, yo, we got kids. I'd rather be like, you know, spending it where the output is much greater in value in terms of life. You know, that's the likeness of life, you know what I'm saying? But I respect that whole process.
The likeness
of
life.
We're in the next record. It's like doing jumping jacks to get some, you know, to the next place. It's just like, let's do this.
Well, and if that's the way the business you're in operates, you have to figure out how to adapt.
Adapt or get left behind.
Yeah. Well,
and the process has been nice.
Yeah.
So if you put a good process, then you could navigate any different thing.
Well, thank you for coming and playing some songs for us here. I know you're doing a ton of PR and setup and all that stuff that bands have to do before a record comes out. But you came across here to the Deep Valley, my friend.
Super deep.
Deep Valley. Man, yeah. I didn't even know the 405 came over here. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, I have to go south. I'm going back south on the 405.
I thought I was in a different place. I was like, SoCal sound, is this the right place?
How to zoom out?
I was already like, 40 minutes late.
I know.
Well, you always show up for me when I ask you to do something, and I'm super grateful. So,
well, thank you to you also, because you're one of the first like legit, you know, people to mess with our sound and take us seriously and give us a platform. So thank you.
You're the first Congleton.
My pleasure. The first Congleton.
You're the first Congleton.
I'll take it. You thanks. Know. Thanks, guys.
The Hawk Holt.
Yeah.
The last Hawk Holt.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, bro.
We should shake a hand or something.
Yes. The lack of the
to play with your body, slip and slide, water falling, riding high with the air. I'm gonna get everywhere, dial it up in your arms. Don't care what the limits are.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.